This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Think about some of the classics of children's literature. There's Where the Wild Things Are, Goodnight Moon, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Those are just a few books that have shaped many Americans' lives. And one thing all these books have in common? They're all about white people. Just 10% of children's books published in the last 21 years are about people of color. But a Berkeley-based children's book company called Crayon Crunch wants to change that. They're publishing a book where parents and children can pick what the main character looks like, giving children the chance to see more characters that look like them. But as KALW's Holly J. McDeed asks, can one book really change the diversity problems in an entire publishing industry? Here's the story.
Every day, Tim Osterborg gets a request from a parent who wants to design a child.
So we have like different like lighter tones, darker tones, and very, very many different options.
Osterborg is not a mad scientist. He's the co-founder of a new children's book publishing company called Crayon Crunch. Their book, My Magical Adventure, is a high-tech, personalized children's book where families can design what the protagonist looks like, down to their freckles or prosthetic limbs.
We are the first book to allow any ethnicity and disability to be represented in a printed book. We believe that every child should have the opportunity to go on an adventure, even if the adventure is fictional.
That's from Crayon Crunch's Kickstarter. My Magical Adventure will ship out to 200 backers this fall. After that, parents can pick and choose among hundreds of different options online to design their own characters. In the book, the main character pretends to be a pirate, a clown, an artist, and an archaeologist. Kai Schmidtot, one of the co-founders, reads an excerpt.
"I'm Cheyenne, the archaeologist," she said. She wasn't really an archaeologist, but sometimes it was fun to pretend.
It's fun to pretend to be other people. But parents also want books that reflect their own children. And it's not always easy. Roughly 40% of the U.S. population are people of color. And yet in 2014, only 393 books were published about them. Try typing African-American books on Amazon. Books about African-American culture and African-American girls learning to love their hair aren't hard to find. But Oakland mother Mia Birdsong wants her daughter to have access to books where Black kids just get to be kids.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that to happen where we get to be in our stories more in a way that isn't about shining a spotlight on culture or hair or, you know, struggle.
Now Birdsong runs Cane Row, an online database where she and others recommend compelling books about people of color.
So I think, you know, if you grow up white in this country, you know, it's like fish don't know that they're wet, right? You grow up seeing yourself everywhere, so it doesn't occur to you that that's not normal. And if you're a person of color, that's just, it's a very, very different experience.
Oakland's libraries aren't nearly as diverse as her daughter's bookshelves. After a story time at the Rockridge Branch in Oakland, I asked kids what characters they would create if they were in charge.
I think maybe it would be like an animal.
Blue eyes, and she'd wear a dress and sneakers.
I think if you would do things so stupid, it's funny.
The answers range from bald raccoon men to teenage bank robbers to adventurous girls who solve mysteries named Caitlin. Alexa Borden is a multiracial 10-year-old, and her kid book heroes don't look like her. They're more of the talking animal variety.
I don't know what animal, but they would sort of make a lot of funny mistakes.
On Borden's summer reading list are books like One Crazy Summer, a book about the Black Panther Party, and Kira Kira, a book about a family that moved from a Japanese community in Iowa to Deep South Georgia. Her mom, Cheryl Aguilar, says her daughter doesn't need a book with a character that looks like her.
And I feel like she has read so many books from telling the story of people who are different than herself, and she can you know, learn about their perspectives. I don't think she needs to really see herself in any of these because she just has read so much.
Showcasing diverse kidlit is something Oakland Children's Librarian Nina Lindsay thinks about every day. But no matter how hard she tries, it's still difficult to change the publishing industry. Lindsay takes me to the kids section at the Oakland Main Library.
This one also has a white farmer in it. I don't know this one, A Big Bed for Jed by Lori Friedman. This has got a white family portrayed in it.
Lindsay says there's a few things that haven't changed in the world of kidlit. Dragons, trucks, princesses, and characters who are white.
I trained to be a librarian in the 90s, and we talked a lot about this then. And it feels often like we're stuck in exactly the same place we were then.
But the conversation is changing. Last spring, in response to an all-white, all-male panel of children's authors at a reading event, Twitter exploded with "We Need Diverse Books" hashtags. The same conversation Lindsay had been having with other librarians and her patrons for decades suddenly went viral. And as a librarian, she has a unique power to remind publishers what her readers want.
And what they want from us in Oakland is more diversity in children's books. And so they do hear that from us. They hear it from the way that we purchase. And when we have the opportunities for that conversation, we do bring it up.
Last year, 14% of kidlit published was by or about people of color, a 4% rise from the year before. But the numbers have gone up before, only to go back down again. The voices of local librarians can only be so loud. So where does that leave those who bypass mainstream publishers entirely, like Crayon Crunch, the folks behind the personalized kids book? Crayon Crunch's CEO, Tim Osterboer, hopes that if he proves that there's a demand for diversity, the publishing powerhouses might take notice.
If they say there is a market for this, and we kind of give them this proof of concept, like, hey, there's a real business in here, I think some of them might really consider it and think about at least bringing a product out that offers those capabilities of customization.
But even if he brings a good story to just a few kids, Osterboer says it's good enough for him. As we come to the end of the Crayon Crunch story, the protagonist is about to make a discovery. Here's Kai Schmittat.
She had been so many people on her journey, she hardly knew who she was anymore. It was fun to be lots of different people, but she realized it was better to just be Cheyenne.
In this moment, the protagonist decides that while it's fun to walk inside the lives of others for a while, it's not so bad to be herself either. Sometimes, we need a little bit of both. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly J. McDeed.